Blog Talk Radio.
What difference?
The Rosenbergs and David Greengrass
and Klausrup, the German physicist, well, that was a British trial. They had stolen, helped steal the secrets of the atom bomb and transmitted them to Stalin and the Soviet bloc, the Soviet Union. They were caught, and they were tried. The prosecutor in the case was Roy Cohen. The judge in the case was Jewish. The Justice Department at that time decided to make this an all-Jewish prosecution, and the defense lawyer was Jewish, and they were convicted of espionage and sentenced to death. That was Ethel and her husband. Her brother, David Greenglass, got a long sentence. Also, it involved British diplomats, Philby. We were foreign office diplomats, and Burgess and McLean. They all fled to Russia. One of them, I think it was Burgess, who was notorious, homosexual, and a drunk. He was arrested in Virginia for public sex with, I think, a black man, if I'm not, a black youth, if I'm not mistaken. We'll get into that another day. And then along these lines, since this is Black History Month, in 1958, Ruth Carroll Taylor became the first black flight stewardess, a flight attendant. In 1961, Robert C. Weaver became the first black federal appointed to the to run the Federal Housing Authority, which was the predecessor of HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development. It had been also under Reagan a black position, and the guy's name was Samuel Pierce. And unfortunately, Reagan made the statement he didn't know what who Sam Pierce was. Maybe that was when he was beginning to show some Alzheimer's affliction, and he didn't know what Samuel B. Pierce did. Samuel B. Pierce was an incompetent, unfortunately, and his claim to fame was his breakfast menu of salami and scrambled eggs. He didn't do much for affordable housing. And then on this day, this is very important to the Steve Neary, the U.S. Navy sailor, kangaroo court trial in San Francisco, connected to the sexual predator in the case, Juan Pethray was a psychon, heir, or his family was connected to Argentina's oldest bank, the Bank de Provincia of Buenos Aires, and it's believed to have been funding the Nazis or holding assets that the Nazis stole from Europeans during World War II. Also, Argentina, during World War II, was the only country in South America to openly support the Nazis, and Juan Perón, not related to the San Francisco homosexual drug dealer, Juan Perón supported Hitler and Tojo and Mussolini, and also that became the South American terminus for our entry point for Nazis who were escaping from Europe and fleeing from justice at Nuremberg. And Eichmann was one of those people. It was believed that he may have had a connection or may have had money or was funded through, from funds held at the Bank de Provincia. And so that's the connection to the Steve Neary case, and we'll get into that another time, and there will be some updates. In 1976 is another one, an accomplishment for Black History Month, the first black Clifford Alexander was appointed as Secretary of the U.S. Army, Pentagon position. And this is very important today. Today, the news all around the world is filled with pictures of Mubarak resigning as the dictator, president dictator of Egypt. Those in the intelligence, those of who I, what I would call intelligence cognoscenti, political cognoscenti, think that Mubarak had a double. And this may come out because politicians in Saddam Hussein had a double. Hitler was believed to have a double. Bernard Montgomery believed to have a double. General Field Marshal Henry Kissinger. So and that is to protect these guys from being assassinated, or they go after the wrong person. So that government is always protected. But Khomeini, Khomeini seized power in Iran in 1978 after they deposed the Shah, and he fled The show of Iran, Reza Pahlavi, who was described as a Bedouin, a phony monarch, had no real lineage. And so we see today that Mubarak, or his double, has resigned publicly from the presidency and dictatorship of Egypt. And today also, Arthur Kennedy, who was a California federal judge, was appointed by Reagan to the U.S. Supreme Court. Among the deaths today, we have René Descartes, who, French philosopher, rationalist, who said, "I think, therefore I am." And then we had the first Englishman to die in a motor accident, this 1899, a guy named George Morgan. And a great composer who composed the opera Notre Dame, an Austrian romantic, Franz Schmidt, died today. And the great Russian film director, we share the same birthday, Sergei Eisenstein, whose great films, he was gay, brilliant cinematographer, producer, director. He did, his great films are Alexander Nevsky, Ivan the Terrible. He started a trilogy on Mexico, and he didn't finish, there was three parts to Ivan the Terrible, but only two parts were finished, and he died at age 50, unfortunately, relatively young for a movie producer. And then another playwright, Howard Lindsay, who wrote the play State of the Union. Now, this was a vehicle for Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy, in which a newspaper publisher decides to run for president. It's a great movie. Then we have Whitney Young, who was one of the founders of the Urban League. He drowned in Nigeria, circumstances unknown. Another great actor who died today, probably his most famous film, was On the Waterfront, which depicted longshoreman corruption on the New York waterfront. That was a great vehicle for Marlon Brando. Eva Marie Saint, and the priest was played by, he has a Polish name and it escapes me at the moment. Great film if you were interested in looking at corruption in the on the waterfront, excuse me. And then another great director, Henry Hathaway, he died today. A great composer, Ulysses Simpson Kay, he died today. And then every time if you're going to buy a barbecue unit, the Weber is probably the most popular, and more people buy that unit. Well, the inventor of that died today, George Stevens. And then another actor, big heavy set guy, he played the role of Cannon, William Conrad, died today. And then another English queen lost her head. She was only reigned for 9 days. Her name was Lady Jane Grey. She was Protestant, and she was beheaded. She preceded Mary Queen of Scots to the, as they say, block. And among the births today, Alexander Hamilton Stevens, who was the vice president of the Confederacy, and he was born in 1812. And then Thomas Alva Edison was born today, and we're going to play, he invented the phonograph, and made the first recording, and here is a recording of him. It came from our archives.
Thomas A. Edison, the inventor of the phonograph, has never before permitted his voice to be recorded for the public. Today, however, he has a message for you that is important enough to cause him to break his long-established rule. Mr. Edison will now give you that message. I beg to introduce Mr. Thomas A. Edison.
Since the remarkable experiments of Morse in 1844 and the unsuccessful efforts of Field in 1858, there have come with incredible rapidity one electrical art after another, so that in practically every respect civilization has been revolutionized. It is still too early and pronounce final judgments on their lasting value. But we may surely entertain the belief that the last half of the 19th century was as distinct in its electrical inventions and the results as the first half was in relation to speed.
Mr.
The first words I spoke in the original phonograph. A little piece of practical poetry. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
And that was Thomas Alva Edison, the great inventor who was born today. His son, I think it was Charles Edison, became governor of New Jersey. I think he was a Republican. Among the other scientists who were born today was Leo Szilard, a Hungarian Jewish scientist, physicist, who was one of the inventors of the atomic bomb. And this is all, of course, about the same time as the Rosenbergs. And he later became a peace activist. He was born in 1899. Among the other actors born today was Leslie Nielsen, who just died about 2 weeks ago. He was born Canadian, who came down here to contribute to our culture, unlike some other Canadians. He was born in Saskatchewan, Western Provinces of Canada, and a great actor, and interesting man. We've had quite a few Canadians who've come here. Michael J. Fox, British Columbia. We had, I'll get into a list. We did this once before, and I like to do it for my Canadian friends. We'll have later today also an interview I did with a Royal Canadian Mountie. The Mounties don't always get their man, but they get their mount, and this is some horse tales. And it's a nice interview, and we'll play that later in the program. Among the other musicians who were born today was Alexander Gibson, who was the founder of the Scottish Opera, and a great conductor, and also the great Russian basso. He starred in Boris Godunov, and great voice, was known as what is called a black bass. This is one of the, it doesn't refer to race, but it means they can, the man can get down to the lowest tones on the piano practically. Fyodor Chelyapin, he was born today. And then we have, great musician, modern Brazil. He started the Bossa Nossa. Sergio Mendes was born today. And then we have two other politicians, Antonio Noriega, who a dictator of Panama, and Juan Williams ought to know about this one because he was born in Panama. I don't know if he still is a citizen. Juan Williams, who was on Fox TV and was on NPR, and still hasn't explained why he trashes birthers when it was Governor Bill Richardson, who's the one who started this fracas about Barack Obama being an immigrant. It was caught on French TV, and it's also, we caught it from French TV. We got it from French TV, and it's on Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVeritas YouTube. You can see Bill Richardson making that statement at the Democratic convention in Denver 2 years ago. And then this is timely today. Farouk the First, he was born today. He was the last king of Egypt. He was just as profligate as Mubarak. The British plopped him up because they had the interests within the Suez Canal. And he had a lot of women, and we used to have instead of using the F-U at school, we would say Farouk, because it's a derogatory term that we had among ourselves when we were growing up as boarding school students. And then, so he was deposed in 1952, and then we had the Egyptian army under, I think, General Naguib, and then Nasser pushed him out, or Naguib died, I forgot, and then Nasser died, and this is where we got Anwar Sadat, who was assassinated, another military man, and then we got Mubarak, who was a general in the Air Force, and now over there's a military junta, I think that's what they're calling it. We don't know. The Muslim Brotherhood is involved there. Incidentally, the Muslim Brotherhood has its roots in World War II. Among its roots in World War II, they simply one of their major propagandists and leaders supported Adolf Hitler and the extermination of Jews. So they've got a very dirty racial cleansing philosophical background and political background. So I don't understand why people of Jewish heritage are supporting this Muslim Brotherhood's allowing them into any government in Egypt, because they're going to take it over. This is the view of the political cognoscenti. And let's see, what else do we have today? I think we've got all the events. Now, among the, we've got the question that I came across in researching, doing the legal research and investigation for the Steve Mary case, we came across a magazine connected to San Francisco's male prostitution publications, Bay Reporter, which promotes young male prostitution. And there is a picture of Scott Peterson, the accused murderer of his wife, he's in the, gay video, put it that way, and they identify him as Scott Peterson, and it looks like him. That may be one that he made when he was down in San Diego. We don't know for sure, but the company that made that has some explaining to do. Now, another dirty lawyer has surfaced in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, a woman, a young Chinese woman, a Chinese ethnic, I don't know if she's a U.S. citizen or not, because in California, a lot of people don't know this, the person, a foreigner, can go to a California a law school and graduate and then take the California State Bar, and he doesn't have to be a United States citizen or have to acquire United States citizenship. This is a question that has now come up on a judge in the Steve Mary case, which we will get into. We're working on the videos on that one. But she has been accused by another lawyer of, again, hijacking cases and, in fact, using fabricating evidence. She got caught again on this, and she should be disbarred. She's also involved in sexual gender preference politics in the last November election in San Francisco. And she was, when Steve Mary applied for parole, even though that is not, even though the case against him, the conviction was void ab initio, void from the beginning, because the U.S. Secretary of the Navy nor the governors of California have asked that he be prosecuted as and turned over by the Navy the papers involving his what they call delivery from the Navy's jurisdiction to local state of California jurisdiction. These papers were forged by Peter Kling, and they were documented, they're irrefutable, and this is in the works because a lot of people have been asking how he was taken off the USS Carl Vinson and ended up across the bay and spent 3.5 years in a San Francisco city prison with no medical care for the broken hand that he sustained when he fought off the rape of Juan Pifre of Argentine neo-Nazi infamy, and also denied access to fresh air and sunlight for 3.5 years. They tried to browbeat him into doing a plea bargain. If he'd done that, everything, all the violations that were poured on him would have been null and void. In other words, it would be forgotten about. He couldn't pursue a legal action in defense of his rights that were violated. But he fought on, and that's one of the reasons why people like Jack Cashel, we have a former deputy, a U.S. attorney, Stephen Gruhl, who has taken this case, although he's been working on the parole to overturn the denial of parole, even though it's not relevant because the conviction was not relevant, and it's fraud, a big fraud that cost the American taxpayer so far $16 million, and we're going into 16 years. In March, it started in 1996 when this 18-year-old sailor was stalked, lured, believed drugged, and then he was raped and then raped by Juan Pifre and then railroaded into San Francisco City Prison, and then a kangaroo court trial in October of 1999 was held and conducted by a guy who came from Canada, Kevin Vincent Ryan, who lied about living all his life in San Francisco when his marriage certificate says he was born in Alberta, Canada. We don't know the city. and he lied and on perjured himself on sworn documents. Since we're talking about Canada, let's play that interview with the Mounties. The Mounties don't always get their man, but get their mounts, their horses.
Say that the Mounties get their man. Well, for once, the media got a Mountie. I'm welcoming Constable Marc Perrin of Winooski, Quebec, here to San Francisco. Welcome to San Francisco, Constable.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Marc, how long have you been in the Mounties?
Just about 5 years.
What have you done for all those 5 years?
After the first 6 months of basic training, I was stationed in the province of New Brunswick, where I worked for about 2.5 years. Then, after that, I was transferred to the Musical Ride, where I spent my last 2.5 years.
What type of horses are favored by the Mounties?
We, on the Musical Ride, use thoroughbreds. That's what the...
Canadian, I take it.
It's a Canadian hunter. And after long years, they figured that the thoroughbred was the best horses for the purpose we're doing right now, which is performance horses. We're actually not doing police work with those horses. We're only doing public relations, putting on performance all over the country, in the States, in Canada, and even sometime in Europe and Japan.
How does the Canadian hunter horse rate alongside a Lipizzaner?
Now, you're getting to be a little technical. I'm not really aware of the Lipizzan. I know the Lipizzans are also used for show performance. I would say that the thoroughbred really stands his place. It's a good horse, and right now really suits our purposes.
What does today's Mountie do?
You're talking about the Musical Ride members?
No, I mean just the RCMP. Are they like Canada's National Police Force or like a national state trooper like we have here in the States?
The RCMP is the federal police force in Canada. Now, let me clarify first. We do not use horses anymore for police work. The only use of horses are here with the Musical Ride. We do in Canada the work that you people would possibly consider, like the FBI work is handled by the RCMP back in Canada. On top of that, depending on the provinces, we also do like the state trooper do in the States, we call it provincial work, and also some occasion municipal work.
Now, do you guys wear that brilliant scarlet uniform all the time?
No, we don't. Actually, we only do it once a year on duty on during police week. That's about the only time we wear a uniform like this, and for parades and a really special occasion. For any police work as such, we just wear a normal uniform. And depending on the province you work in, like if you work in the province of Quebec or Ontario, you will just be wearing civilian clothes.
Are there any women in the Mounties, Constable?
Yeah, there is. For the past couple of years, the RCMP has been recruiting females. Matter of fact, there was even females on the Musical Ride. Last year there was one, and the previous year there was two. This year we haven't got any. There'll be a couple next year.
Do you think, as a man, that men have a better relationship with horses than women?
No, I know that. You know, I only worked with one woman last year on the ride, and she was, as long as she does the work as well as you do it, she's welcome to be there. But
are there any special foods that you feed your horses?
Oh, we feed them Timothy A 4 times a day, plus oats times a day.
You don't feed them any of that Labatt's beer?
No. Would make them too good.
Like the Budweiser horses.
Actually, if you really want to push the issue, one of the horses will drink beer.
How does he perform?
He's pretty good at it.
Not the beer, I mean, in the ring.
Oh, he's excellent. Matter of fact, that's the only that's the oldest horse that we got. His name is Eros, 20 years old. That's the reason why he's allowed to have those special treats once in a while.
Indulge. How would your horses rate alongside a Lipizzaner?
I couldn't compare. Really Lipizzan and thoroughbred, just because I'm not aware exactly how Lipizzan perform. And we do not do any competition as such. We just put on performances. So I couldn't really rate it between Lipizzan. The different horses, and we do different work.
Now, do you only use a Canadian hunter? You wouldn't use a Tennessee Walker or any of those high-stepping horses?
No, we definitely won't be using any Tennessee Walker. It was decided upon a long time ago that that thoroughbred would be used, and we've just been breeding that type of horses, and a Tennessee Walker would not be suitable for us.
Now, do the Mounties wear that scout uniform all year round?
No, we don't. We only use the uniform for performance, a special occasion.
What do you wear?
Depending on the province where you work in, if you do like provincial work, then you will be wearing just a long pair of blues, they call it, and a shirt, like any municipal police force or state patrol does. If you work in provinces where, like Quebec and Ontario, where the RCMP only does federal work, like FBI, you only wear civilian clothes, suit and tie. And
Constable, what kind of dogs do the Mounties use?
German Shepherd, if I are most of the dogs that the RCMP will use. They are trained out in Alberta, and they appear to be very, very good dogs for police work purposes. So we've been using German Shepherds.
Now, years ago in the States, there was a program put out by Quaker Oats called Sergeant Preston of the Yukon his dog, I forgot the name, Mush or something. Do you use Malamutes up there?
What, could you recall? What was your question?
Years ago, Quaker Oat. What type of dogs do you use in the Arctic? Do you use you don't use German Shepherds, do you? Or do you use Samoyeds or Malamutes?
Oh, we don't use dogs as such for pulling sleighs or anything like this. We do not use that anymore. The only use for dogs is in search for drugs or bombs, like all the other police force do around here, but we do not use dogs anymore for sleighs in the north. We just use snowmobiles or helicopters or planes.
For a young Canadian who'd like to go into the Mounties, what are the requirements today?
The basic requirement is just to be 19 years of age and have finished high school. Now, there is obviously a lot of people applying for the RCMP right now.
How many men do you have and women do you have in the force? Approximately.
It's approximately a force of 15,000 members. The amount of women would surely be over 1,000, but I can tell you exactly the...
With the mileage of Canada, would that break down to about 500 a province?
No, it's actually a lot more than that. In the province of Quebec, you have about 650 Mounties. In the province of New Brunswick, you have about 350. But then, on the other hand, in the British Columbia, you might have 4,000 or 5,000 of them.
Oh, it's population density.
It depends on the population density and also the type of work that the members perform. In the province of British Columbia, they do a lot more state work that the state trooper would do here. Members of the RCMP do it out there. Thus, we need a lot more members in that province.
One last question. Do any Canadian Indians apply and are accepted to your force?
Yes, we got a special program for Canadian Indians, and a lot of them are now members of the RCMP, and we try to sort of make them work for the people so that they are in a better position to understand the problems and possibly be able to cope with it.
Can you think of any funny horse and man stories in your experience in the Mounties?
Oh, dear. Obviously, I've been thrown a couple of times before because of the fact that about 90% of the members that we used to ride never rode horses before. So when we first start the basic training, there is obviously at least one guy per day going down, and some guys go down 2-3 times within a matter of 15-20 minutes. So all that after 2.5 years, you leave the musical ride with tons of good souvenirs about things that happened before.
None fall on any horse droppings, do they?
Oh, horses fell down too. I can't even remember one horse called Eros. That's the oldest horse we have. We were showing in Puyallup, Washington, and decided to go for almost a little nap during a performance. So he ended up...
He was drinking that beer.
He wasn't drinking beer that day. But he went down, and the rider had to get off him and get him back up and then go back through the ride again. So that was quite something.
Now, what happens to the horses after... when do you retire them, and what happens to them?
horses will be kept on the musical ride as long as they're sound. If we see that they get to be stiff or are in any kind of pain or they can't cope with the traveling anymore, we will just leave them in Ottawa, where all the new riders are being trained. Now, they will be there until they are either too old to do the job, then we'll have to dispose of them.
So they don't go to the glue factory, do they?
We have to put them down when they get to be too old, so where they go after that.
What's the average, would you say?
The youngest horses we got here are 6 years old, and the oldest one is 20. Back in Ottawa, we got two or 22 years old. That's pretty well the oldest we got.
Okay. Is there any horse that has a famous history? Like down here we had Blackjack, which was a horse that used to pull all the caissons for presidential and state funerals. Do you have a similar horse in the Mounties?
All the horses in the Mounties are like this.
Okay. They're all famous, huh?
I think so.
Boy, that's the real esprit de corps.
No, I'm convinced all those horses are famous because they are the world famous Mount Police musical ride, and people come and see it. And as a matter of fact, I invite to that special occasion everybody from the Bay Area to come down to Cow Palace. We'll be showing starting tonight, the 18th, until the 27th, every night, plus matinee shows on the weekends. So everybody's invited to come down. And you definitely won't regret it. It's a good show.
Well, I saw Lippa's honor, so you got a lot to look up to.
It is a totally different type of work, but it's definitely well worth seeing. And also, there'll be the rodeo at the same time, so everybody's welcome to come down. And after that, maybe come and walk through the stables and talk to some of Molly.
You better wear some thick shoes. We've been speaking to Constable Mark Perrin, who's originally from Quebec. And he's going to be riding tonight in the Canadian segment of this show. Thanks for being on Animals and the Idea of Horses.
Thank you very much, Peter. It was a real pleasure.
This is Peter Paul. Thank you.
That was taped a while back and was part of the archives from when I was at Western Public Radio and KALW, and is now part of the archives at the Carson Brazola Historical Audio Visual Documentary Archives. And of course, the music that we use is from the station and Western Public Radio and our archives. It's very extensive, and we're transferring from cassette tape to CD and DVD. The noise you hear in the background, we've got a problem here. We're going to have to end the show early, unfortunately. They're making a movie, and I can't stop the noise or block the noise. The movie is called Contagion, and you know, since we were just talking about Canada, Americans, filmmakers, studios were going to Canada to make films because it was cheaper. They go to places like Vancouver or Toronto, Ontario. Incidentally, Ontario could use some an infusion of American film money because I understand that province, like many American states, is facing a severe financial crisis and maybe a provincial bankruptcy. Provinces up there, which are equivalent to our states in some respects, they're called provinces, and it's analogous to an American state like California. Ontario would be eastern Canada. But anyway, what's funny is that I was joking with Warner Brothers today. I didn't know they were going to make this much noise. This is what you hear in the background. That when they made films, shooting films up in Canada, the streets are so clean that they had to import American garbage. Well, I was joking with Warner Brothers, and they had filled the streets, and we'll show it on Amicus Veritas YouTube, that I don't know where this garbage came from, but the Warner Brothers trucks that brought it is from Burbank, so I guess San Francisco is getting some Southern California garbage. That's what it apparently looks like, and nobody's contradicted me on that or clarified where the garbage came from. Politically speaking, we have enough what I call political flotsam that have come into this great city and have brought their political baggage and their BS with them. But as Leo Lee, my mentor at Western Public Radio, used to say, he had a lot of experience. He worked in state government as press secretary and consultant to Governor Goodwin Knight, the successor to Governor Earl Warren when Earl Warren was appointed by President Eisenhower to the U.S. Supreme Court. Goodwin Knight was Lieutenant Governor. This may happen with Gavin Newsom if Jerry Brown, who's in his 70s, if he should retire or die or become incapacitated or resign, Gavin Newsom will be the successor if that should happen. We don't know. But there's a lot of political upheaval around the world, and I really can't do anything about this noise. So what I'm going to do, regretfully, since it's difficult to, this was not planned, and we weren't told about it until the last minute, we're going to end the show now. So we'll end with our usual theme, which applies everywhere. There's politicians who try to manipulate things. So here goes, politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y? I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fudyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
Movie production under my window. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't defeat money into San Francisco, which the city desperately needs. Forgot, here's a couple of announcements before we end early. Jack Cashel, the prolific author, has just come out with a new book called Deconstructing Obama, and it's published by Simon & Schuster, major publishers. They publish his other book, What's the Matter with California, and we'll get into that, because there is a lot, as one of the bookstore people told me when we were discussing that book. For Monday, we will have a special on St. Valentine's Day. We'll have some, we grew up in an area of Illinois where we knew a lot about the Irish and the Italian mafia, and later learned about the Jewish lawyers and the Jewish people who were connected to the mafia in Illinois, and some interesting anecdotes and some exposés in our political facts, frauds, and fictions, and some of it deals with Elliot Ness, Walter Winchell, the Al Capone trial, and how Al Capone was really brought down. It wasn't Elliot Ness. That's a fraud, and it's a fiction. So we're going to end early because I can't deal with this noise, and it's probably affecting the program. And so it's appropriately the name of the film that they're shooting is Contagion, and we don't have the smell of the garbage.